I'm going to start with a question. What are you worth? Now, you know, normally when somebody asks that question, the first thing we think of is our finances, or maybe our job position, or our accomplishments. In the world, we learn how to tie our worth and value to what we do, but in God's kingdom, He wants us to understand that our worth and value is wrapped up in who we are in Him, not what we do. I'm going to say it again. Your worth and value is not determined by what you do, or the important people you know, or the job title you have, how much education you have. Your worth and value is determined by being a child of God. And I can tell you what you're worth. Every one of you is worth the Son of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. You're purchased with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. God paid a tremendous price for you, and you belong to Him. You don't belong to yourself. You may think you do, but in reality, you belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made His own. So then honor God and bring glory to Him in your body. And I think we might go on to say, and with your life. Are we glorifying God with our life? Are we glorifying God with our lifestyles? Are we glorifying God with our choices and our decisions? Are we glorifying God with our thoughts, with our words, with our choice of entertainment? Can I tell you something? God's not interested in just having a Sunday morning relationship with you. He wants to invade every single area of your life. Good. Where's those three people that are happy? See, we think about being filled with the Spirit, and that sounds like fun. Oh, yes. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. But you know what happened to me when I was filled with the Holy Spirit is God started messing in stuff that I didn't want Him to mess in. You know, you can just go sit on a church pew on Sunday morning and just be a miserable saint instead of a miserable sinner. It's one thing to be lost and be miserable. It's another thing to be saved and still be miserable. Surely we can understand that Jesus didn't die so we could be miserable and murmur and complain and grumble all the time, be unhappy, have no peace, worry about everything. He died for us to have a totally different quality of life, and He bought us back from the enemy. I said He bought us back from the enemy. He paid for us, and He bought us back. Now, anything that you have paid for and bought, you have a strong sensing that it's yours. And you really don't want anybody else messing with it. It's yours. You can do what you want to with it. Well, we have been bought and paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We no longer belong to the devil, but the news tonight is you no longer belong to yourself either. Well, now you have free will and you can do anything you want to. I'm not saying that you can't. You can live any kind of life you want to. And you may, you know, live a compromising lifestyle and still squeak into heaven. But you won't be happy. And you won't help the kingdom of God. And you won't be a good witness to other people. But tonight, you can do some turnaround and make some decisions. We all have to come to a crisis point in our life. And maybe some of you have already been at that place and you've made a real serious decision about your walk with God. I believe many of you have, but I'm also well aware that I'm not just talking to the room and people in this room tonight. There are people all over the world watching by television in 80 different languages, and I want to make sure that you know that you really do not belong to yourself. You have been bought with a price, and God expects you to surrender your life to Him. We need to consecrate ourselves to God, and to be consecrated means to be set apart for a special use and a special purpose. We're going deeper tonight, whether you want to or not. Well, Sister Joyce, I'm hurting, and I thought you'd comfort me. Oh, let me tell you something. If you talk about big-time comfort, you just start letting God have control of your life. Now, it's going to be a fight to start with, I'll tell you that right now, because your flesh is used to ruling things. And how many of you know that our flesh can just really throw some fits? But oh, when you finally make it through, wow, does life get sweet. You don't have to worry. You don't have to compare yourself with other people. You don't have to try to impress people. Your worth and value is not in what you do. You can do what you do for right reasons. You don't have to get upset if you don't do everything perfect all the time, because you belong to somebody that's greater than you are and greater than anybody else out there. So what are you worth? The blood of Jesus Christ. What are you worth? All the death, the misery, the pain that Jesus willingly took on Himself. And He would have done it if He would have been the only person on the earth. That's how much God loves you, and that's how much you're worth. So if anybody would ever ask you again how much you're worth, you need to say, you might have to do a little preaching afterwards, but you need to say, more than you can ever possibly imagine. That'll shake them up a little bit. Amen. You know, how many of you want to enjoy your life more? Okay, now, I'm just going to tell you something. You can't enjoy your life more if you don't learn to enjoy yourself more. Somebody over here liked that. You can't enjoy your life more if you don't learn to enjoy yourself more. And for that matter, enjoy God more. I believe the high call in our life is to enjoy God. Serving God is not a drudgery. I tell you what, my journey with God, once I really got on board with God and figured out that He was going to get His way in the end. See, really how hard it is pretty much up to us. Fighting with God is a losing battle. Because He either will get His way in your life or you will be miserable. I said He either will get His way in your life or you will be miserable. You know, sometimes I can tell I'm fishing for something and I'm not 100% for sure what it is, but I just got this strong sensing tonight that God's brought a lot of people that you've been wrestling with some things in your life. Avoiding, evading. Maybe God's trying to deal with you about something and you've been blaming it on somebody else. Oops. Come on. Maybe God's been trying to get you to walk away from something that's poisoning your life and you just keep hanging on. And maybe you've been trying to get away from something that God wants you just to settle down and stay put. I'll tell you what. Our world is in such an awful mess. And I want to tell you what, there is so much compromise, not only in the world, but also in the church. And some of us have got to make some decisions that we're going to stand up and be the best we can be to glorify God and not just keep floating downstream with everybody else just so they can like us and approve of us. If I were you, I would make a decision tonight that you're going to go all out for God if that means that you lose every friend you've got. And you might. I did. But now I got more friends I know what to do with. See, what you give up for God's sake, He will multiply back to you many, many, many times over. You know, we want to have a great relationship with God, but we want to do it respectably. We don't want to be one of those radical, fanatic, overboard Christians. Amen? Well, I'm not saying we all have to go around acting like lunatics, but let me tell you something. If you're going to serve God, really serve God, you may do a few things that seem odd to the rest of people occasionally. Like, be happy while you got problems. That is really strange. Not worry about your kids when they seem like that they're just going right down the drain. Because you got some secret information. Being good to your enemies, what sense does that make? Praying for those that have hurt you. Wow, we got a strange deal going on here. Everything's upside down from what it is in the world, but I'll tell you what, it works. I've tried the world and I've tried God, and I can tell you God's better. Come on, it's time to make some decisions. Bought with a price, paid for with a preciousness. Some of you are just like, boy, you just like right on the edge. And you kind of go. Because you know, sometimes when God's asking you to jump off, you don't know what it is you're jumping off into. Let's remember that thing with Abraham. Leave your father's house and all that you're familiar with and go to the place that I will show you. Well, God, where are we going? No, you leave and I'll show you. No, God, you show me and then I'll decide if I want to leave. When I worked at a church for 5 years and God was calling me to step out and do bigger things, and man, He dealt with me and dealt with me for about 2 years, and I finally got so miserable I couldn't hardly stand it. That's what happens when God's dealing with you and you're not listening, by the way. Just in case you didn't know what some of the turmoil is in your life, maybe. Oh, God, I just don't know what's wrong. I'm just so miserable. God, I don't know why you're not talking to me. I need a word from you. Well, maybe there's no point in Him saying anything until you do the last thing He told you. Well, God said, take your ministry and go north, south, east, and west. I had no idea what that meant, but I had to go, and then He showed me. Sometimes you've got to take that first initial step of obedience before God will show you that next step. Some of you are hanging on to relationships that are poisoning your life simply because you're afraid that you'll be lonely. But you know what? If you're hanging out with a bunch of people that don't really love you, you're lonely anyway. You just haven't figured it out yet. You don't have to be alone to be lonely. Is anybody like kind of really in the spirit already with me? You kind of got it figured out where we're going here tonight. See? I believe everybody in here tonight can make some decision that will help you be a better person, and that includes me. I can almost guarantee you that there's not very many people in this room that God is not dealing with you about something. Something. And that's our journey with God. He's always dealing with us about something, and thank God that He doesn't leave us alone in our messes and just let us stay the way we are. I'm grateful that God deals with us. Don't take it as an insult. Take it as an act of His love. Those whom He chastises, He loves. You're bought with a price. Well, when Jesus saves us, how much of us does He save? All. There's that word I'm after, all. The word salvation means deliverance, something saved, to give aid, to give victory, prosperity, health, help, and welfare. It further means deliverance, preservation, material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension, which is fear. It further means, and this all came out of the Greek dictionary, health, safety, spiritual and eternal deliverance granted immediately by God to those who accept his conditions of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, in whom alone it is to be obtained. You see, when we receive Christ as our Savior, we immediately become new creatures in Christ. But everything that we have is buried deep in us in our spirit. Now the journey begins. You've got everything you need to be an awesome, amazing, powerful, influential person. Because a little seed of everything that God is has been planted in the womb of your spirit. See, I don't even think that we know a lot of times what it means to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means that you receive the nature of God into your spirit. Now, your behavior may not change right away. Probably won't. You might get better for a few days, but we can always go back. Mind doesn't automatically change. It has to be renewed. We have a great deal to learn, but we have everything we need. That's why I love this part of this definition of salvation, is that these things are immediately granted to those who receive Christ as their Savior. Well, that can get confusing to us because we think, well, if I've got it, where's it at? If I've got it, then where's it hidden? And sometimes we get confused when we hear teachings, people tell us everything we've got and everything that's ours and all the promises of God, and every single one of them are true. But we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He's not going to make us do the right thing. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and little by little, from glory to glory, we get a little bit better. And the more that good stuff that's in us works its way to the outside of us, the better our life gets. The more people are amazed at what God can do in and through us. And just about the time you think you have arrived, God shows you something else. And that's good news. See, I used to not like that. I'm like, can't you ever just leave me alone? Well, thank God that he doesn't leave us alone. I'm sure there's some people here that know exactly what I'm talking about, and there's probably others of you that you're just like lost. I mean, you've just been like going to church for 100 years and spending 45 minutes there on Sunday morning and going home, going back to church, going home, going to church and going home. Nothing ever changes in your life. Well, you know what? Jesus came to set us free. To totally set us free. The word salvation further means God's power to deliver from the bondage of sin, with special reference to the maintenance of peace and harmony. To be saved means to be delivered from the wrath of God that is destined to be executed upon the ungodly at the end of this age. The wrath of God is going to be poured out on the ungodly at the end of this age, but thank God, through our faith in Jesus Christ, we are stamped and sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we are preserved until the final day of our deliverance. I love that. In Ephesians, it talks about how we're stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Marked and branded as God's own, it says. Marked and branded as God's own. Everybody say, I belong to God. See, I think we need a greater sensing of that. I think we need to live our life with this awareness that I'm not my own, I belong to God. God, what do you need me for today? Not here's my list of everything you need to do for me to keep me happy today. But what can I do for you today? You know, if you'll start asking God every morning, what can I do for you today? How, use me, how can I serve you? Let me tell you something, your problems will start getting solved one right after the other and you won't even know how it happened. Well, it's true. Amen. Just going to church and going home, going to church and going home. I did that for years and years and years. But Jesus didn't save us so we could just do that. He said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly to the full until it overflows. I want all of you in my life, God, and I want you to have all of me. Now, maybe that sounds scary to some of you. Maybe you're not ready to give up all. Well, you got in the service tonight, so. If you're not ready, maybe you best get ready, or maybe God's getting ready to do some things in your life and he wanted you to have maybe just a tiny bit of understanding about what's going to happen before it happens. Who's ever had God deal with you about something? It was so hard for you to give it up, so hard. But then when you did, you saw how much better things were in your life. Wow, wow, wow. We've all got that testimony. Our walk with God is a journey. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. Now, as we walk with God, one of the things that happens, and I love this promise in Isaiah 49, 8 through 10. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable and a favorable time, I've heard and answered you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant to the people to raise up and establish the land from its present state of ruin and to apportion and cause them to inherit the desolate moral waste of heathenism, their heritage. Now the next verse, verse 9. Saying to those that are bound, come forth. And to those who are in spiritual darkness, come out into the light. See, he's saying, I can change your life and then I can make you useful to other people. What am I doing here tonight? I'm saying, come out. You no longer have to be bound. Come out of the darkness into the light. God's got a better life for you. Now, as we walk with God, one of the things that happens, and I love this promise in Isaiah 49, 8 through 10. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable and a favorable time, I've heard and answered you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant to the people to raise up and establish the land from its present state of ruin and to apportion and cause them to inherit the desolate moral waste of heathenism, their heritage. Now the next verse, verse 9. Saying to those that are bound, come forth. And to those who are in spiritual darkness, come out into the light. See, he's saying, I can change your life and then I can make you useful to other people. What am I doing here tonight? I'm saying, come out. You no longer have to be bound. Come out of the darkness into the light. God's got a better life for you. Let's look at verse 10. I love this. They will not hunger or thirst, neither will mirage mislead, or scorching wind or shame smite them. Now, how many of you know what a mirage is? I find this so interesting. A mirage is like something that you think you see that's not really there. It happens to people when they're in the desert, which you might as well say that in the world we're living in a desert. And they see something out in the distance that they think is water. They see something they think is going to solve their thirst, and so they go for that. And then when they get there, they find out it was just a mirage. Say three or four of you getting this already, and I haven't even told you what it means yet. You guys are smart. Well, you know what? Until we really understand what God's wanting to do in our lives, and we stop chasing after things that we think are going to make us happy, that then we get and find out they have no ability to make us happy. And I love this because he said, when you're truly saved, you'll no longer be led by mirages, but I'll do a work in your life, and I will use you and cause you to bring other people out of darkness. How many of you don't want to just keep chasing digging empty wells that have no water in them? Well, I spent so much of my life digging empty wells that had no water in them. Oh, this will make me happy. Oh, this will make me happy. Oh, this will make me happy. This will make me happy. If I quit this job and get another job, it'll make me happy. If I lose 10 pounds, it'll make me happy. If I get more money, it'll make me happy. If I have a bigger house, it'll make me happy. You know what? I had no intention of being happy because I was not happy with myself. And until you get happy with yourself, there's nothing in the world that can ever make you happy. And the only way you can be happy with yourself is to get in agreement with God. Life gets tough when we're not in agreement with God. It takes a while to get there, but you can come to the point where you just absolutely don't care what happens in your life as long as you're in God's will. Now, a big thing that needs to happen when we're saved is we need to have our minds renewed. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:17 that we're to put on the helmet of salvation. Well, what in the world does that mean? I think it means that we need to learn how to think saved. Not just be saved, but think saved. Like I shared that scripture this morning about hope. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Now, when you're in trouble, but you can think something good is about to happen to me at any moment, now you're thinking like a saved person. When somebody offends you and you can think, I am not going to waste my day being mad at you, I have power from God to forgive you, now you're thinking like a saved person. Come on. But now if you're still trying to run your own life, if you haven't committed that part of your life to God yet, I wonder if there'd be some people here tonight that maybe need to commit their temper to God. I love 1 Peter 2:23. When he was reviled and abused, he did not revile and abuse in return. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance. But he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly. Right there, that's the place of peace. God, no matter what happens, I trust you. I trust you. And you know what? Jesus never, he didn't give people back what they gave him. He gave them back true love, which was something they couldn't get anywhere else. Now, that's when you're free, when you don't have to spend your life being mad at people who hurt you all the time. The world is full of people that are going to do nothing but try to offend you and hurt you as long as you keep buying into it. The devil will just love it. But you can think differently, and when you think differently, it will cause you to behave differently. I have a book that I wrote called Power Thoughts, and it's got 12 different basic foundational thought principles that I've encouraged people take each one of those and meditate on that and stick with it for like 30 days and let it get rooted on the inside of you. What if you took the next 30 days and you pondered and thought and spoke, I'm quick to forgive. I don't stay angry. It's almost impossible to offend me. Instead of saying, well, I can't help it, I'm just touchy. I can't help it. I'm just a tender person that gets my feelings hurt easy. So now everybody else in the world needs to tiptoe around me because I'm touchy. We can change the way we feel, and we can change the way we behave by changing the way we think and learning how to think the way God thinks, but we have to do it on purpose. It's not going to happen accidentally. So I'll just throw out a new way you could think that will help you. God's dealing with you about something. He wants you to, I don't know what, you know, stop going out after work on Friday night and hanging out in the bar with your friends. Now, you know, you're not going to do anything you shouldn't do. You just want to hang out. You don't want people to think you're unfriendly. But you kind of know down deep inside that that's not really where you need to be. It's not the best atmosphere for you. I'm just throwing out examples. You can apply this anywhere you want to. I mean, it's not really the best place for you. It might not keep you from going to heaven, but it's not really the best place for you. It's kind of like a waste of your time, and you kind of know that. But you don't really want to go home, just sit home by yourself on Friday night. And so the thing we think is, it's just so hard. It's just so hard. Or maybe God's dealing with you about, let's pick something that you really won't like, tithing. Well, that tithing stuff, that's Old Testament. That's under the law. Well, if they could give 10% under the law, I wonder what we ought to be doing by grace. Now, you don't want to have that argument with me. So, you know, I'm not trying to do it. Let's just say God's been dealing with you. I mean, it's so hard. It's so hard. The government already gets most of what I make, and now God wants me to give the rest of it to him. Well, what's going to happen to me? It's just so hard. How about if you change your thinking and you start thinking like this? I can do whatever God asks me to do through Christ who is my strength. Nothing is too hard for me because I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. And that's just not a sermon that somebody preaches to you once in a while and you get all excited and clap and cheer in the church. These are ways that you need to think when you go home. I can do whatever I need to do, and I can do it with a smile on my face. Paul never prayed for the church that they wouldn't have any problems. He prayed that they would be able to endure whatever came with good temper. So guess what? I'm not going to pray for you tonight for your problems to go away. Oh. Because here's the thing, we got to learn how to deal with stuff. Even if the problem you have right now goes away, there will be another one right on its tail. See, some of you are like, man, I wish I wouldn't have come tonight. Hey, I'm just trying to help you, and the only way people can really help you is to tell you the truth. You don't have to be afraid of trouble. You don't have to be afraid of problems because you are more than a conqueror and you have what it takes to overcome anything that comes against you. Come on. We don't have to spend our life being led around by mirages and, oh, it's this, that's going to make me, oh, it's that. Anything to avoid letting God deal with us. Why not stop chasing what you think is going to make you happy and just say, here I am, God, I want all of you and I want you to have all of me. Oh, we just have no idea what's going to happen in our life when we just really put ourselves on the altar and say, God, you do what you want to do in my life. The truth will set you free, but it can also be a little hard to handle. Your joy will increase the more you surrender to God.
Brittany James, Brittany, James, James. Well, it started, it would have been last spring of 2012, and the lady stepped down from women's ministry, so there was a need at the church, and I filled in. I said I was just going to be the helper. I would be part of it, and I knew God was speaking to me. He had put a passion for women and girls in my heart a long time ago. Anyway, lo and behold, God has a funny way of working things out, and the next thing I know, I'm leading women's Bible study, and he began to speak to me in my prayer time in the Word about how it was going to be much bigger than this home Bible study. We were doing it out of my home. And I'm thinking, no, God, I'm content with this right now. You know, I don't need anything big. And he's like, no, I've got big plans. You know, this is going to be an outreach for the women of this city. They're lost, they're broken, and they need hope. And that's what this is going to be. And I just kept trying to push it off. And it was funny because our pastor had been preaching a lot about dreaming big and how God, he wants us to dream big. And then I get to Joyce Meyer's conference, and I didn't know her story. I knew who she was. I'm from Missouri. Everyone knows Joyce Meyer in Missouri, I think.
I thought I was crazy anyway, even thinking I'd ever be in ministry, but I had this desire in my heart, and I was just teaching one home Bible study.
And when she said that her ministry started out in her home at a Bible study, I literally about dropped my Bible and fell out of the chair. And I thought, wow, God, you are so awesome. And it just, so much confidence that she's spoken to me. I never thought that I had it in me to do these things, to lead 5 women, let alone we have about 20 women. The Bible study has been wonderful, and it's been more of a blessing to me than anything than I ever thought it would be. God's voice is undeniable, and if it lines up with the Word of God, you should probably do it. There have been many times God has asked me to do things. I'm like, yeah, no, can you ask me tomorrow? But it keeps smacking me in the face, and I'm like, okay, I should do this. And if God is calling you to do something, at the end of the day, he's not just asking that for his benefit. It's to benefit you too, because that's how our God works. He is a loving, gracious, merciful God, and his plan is so intricate and so complex that we don't understand all the pieces, but he's got it set up to where if we are obedient to him, he's gonna just overwhelm us with blessings.
The place to begin being more obedient to God is in all the little things in your life. The little things in your life. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. If we practice on the little things, then the big things will get easy. Come on, why don't you step into the school of the Holy Ghost and just say, okay, Holy Spirit, you teach me how to be the person you want me to be. You bring, every time that God brings conviction, you've probably heard these stories, but a couple of them are coming up in me, and so I'm going to tell them to you again. And it sounds funny now, but it was a big deal to me at the time. You know, I was not an excellent person. I did what everybody else did. You just do what you have to do to get by. But God wants us to be excellent. And if someday I was going to stand up here and represent him like I am tonight and reach not only you but people all over the world, wow, you know, that is a great privilege. But there's a great responsibility that goes along with that. And so way back over here 40 years ago, I went into the school of the Holy Spirit, and he started teaching me. And you don't have to be in some special class somewhere to be taught by God. He'll teach you wherever you're at. And he uses all the little ordinary things of daily life to do it. Why were you late for work this morning? Well, the person of integrity is going to say, you know what, just to be honest, I just didn't leave my home in time. It's my fault. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. Now, you know what? A person can respect that. But when we make excuses that everybody else knows is not true, all right, I'm going to go talk to these guys for a while. I I went to the grocery store like everybody else does every week for years and years and years. But when the Holy Spirit got serious with me, all of a sudden, things that I did started bothering me that never bothered me before. And I remember when I left my grocery cart out in the parking lot like I did every other week. You know, we prop it up against somebody's car and and I started ripping my car, and I remember I just sensed, go put that back where it should be. Well, nobody else does. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Nobody does, so somebody's got to start. We're not called to do what everybody else does. We're not called to fit in. We're called to stand out. We're called to be the odd person who does what's right. Well, I'm really kind of, it's not really easy to tell you this, but it took me 2 whole years to get to the point where I put that silly grocery cart back where it was supposed to go every time I went to the store. I would do it for a little while, and then if the weather was bad, I wouldn't do it. I'd do it for a little while, and then if I was in a hurry, I wouldn't do it. Sorry, now you have to start putting yours back. One lady told us a funny story. She said, I went to the grocery store the other day and put my groceries in the car, and I started going back with my grocery cart because I listened to your preaching. There's a lady over here going back with hers, and she looked at me and said, Joyce Meyer, right? And she said, that's right. Point. If we can learn it on that level, if we can learn it right down in our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then when the big things come along, we got a lot of practice. God wants us to be people of excellence. He wants us to be people of integrity. Let's just don't go to church and sing I Surrender All and then go out and do what we want to all week. Let's learn how to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and start doing what the Holy Spirit shows us to do. It doesn't matter if you're the only person that you know that's doing it right. You keep doing what's right if it costs you every friend that you've got. Somebody needs to make a move tonight. You need to move just another step closer to God. I can feel it in my bones. Come on, somebody needs to make a decision to stop lying. Man, it's hard to tell the truth all the time if it's going to get you in trouble. Well, probably shouldn't have done what you did to start with, then there wouldn't be any trouble. Hey, I know. Been there, done that. I mean, sometime last year, I told a lie. I did. I told a lie. They asked me a question on some medical papers I was filling out. I thought it was none of their business, so I just didn't tell them. Actually, I wrote down something that wasn't correct, and so I got home later, and the Lord said, you know, you lied. Well, see, I'd have been better off to have just said, I don't think it's any of your business. I'm not going to answer it. But see, we don't want to just come out with the truth. And then I was one of those people that I'd go in the grocery store hungry, and I'd get my cart full of everything imaginable, and then figure out by the last aisle I couldn't pay for it all. And instead of going and putting it back where I got it, I just pile it all, you know, put the lettuce in with the cleanser. Yeah, I was the part, you know, I was like, who is the nutcase who put that here? I didn't want to go put it back. I didn't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. And the Holy Ghost would say, put it back. Put it back. Walk it all the way. Oh, God, I'm in a hurry. Put it back. Put it back. Oh, yeah. Went out shopping, bought a pair of shoes, had looked at the purse to match the shoes, decided I didn't want the purse. Got home, and the sales clerk had accidentally put the purse in with the shoes. I had a free purse. No, God wasn't trying to bless me. He was testing me. Now you're understanding. He was testing me. So I had to use my time, my gas money, to take it back. And the clerk said, this is amazing. He said, do you know that there are not very many people that would have brought this back? Well, I had an opportunity. I said, well, you know what? I serve God, and he told me to bring it back. So here it is. Now all of a sudden your bumper sticker's got some power behind it. God wants to do such an amazing work in our life. But it's time for us to come up higher. Let's be excellent. Let's be people of integrity who do what's right because it's right. Even if we never get a right result, we're going to do what's right because it's right. Amen. Let's be committed to doing what's right. Well, I want you to remember that your worth and value is not in what you do, it's in being a child of God. And you are set apart for a special purpose. That requires taking steps of faith. And so I'm going to encourage you to trust God to take whatever that next step is that he might be leading you to take. You know, I want to encourage you, don't settle for less than what Jesus died to give you. You are made for more. And today we're offering you 5 CDs, and that's like 5 hours of teaching called Made for More. And a little book that we have for you called What Are You Going to Believe? You know, all the promises of God come to us through believing. So what do you believe? And if you need to change some of your believing, what is it that you need to believe? I think that this material is really going to help you. This morning I was thinking about Hebrews 4:12. It says that the Word of God is sharp and quick and powerful like a two-edged sword. And the Amplified Bible, it says it's energizing and operative. And so I like to think that the Word of God actually, when I receive it by faith, it actually operates on me. It gets into my soul and it divides the things that are wrong from the things that are right. I don't ever want you to forget how powerful God's Word is and how valuable it is in your life. God bless you. Have a great day.